I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about remembering both the good and the bad. Today is the Feast of Purim. In 2022, today is March 16th, today is the Feast of Purim, and Purim comes from the story of Esther in the Bible. And it's this reminder of the time when the Jewish people were about to be destroyed, and God turns the tables on it, and he turns it into a time of great joy. He turned their sorrow or mourning into a great time of joy. They went from fasting to feasting. And recently I was just doing a little bit of study, looking at some teachings from rabbis and from the Hebrew language and these types of things about this story of Esther and the story of Purim. And they talked about one of the important things of Purim. They have this tradition. Today, this day on the Feast of Purim, they typically will fast during the daylight hours today. Now, if you're going to fast, if you feel called to do the fast, I think it's good because it gives us something physical to actually do to put with our remembrance. Just like we do with communion, we have the cracker and the juice, something that we actually do that we can release our faith into to help us to remember. But they talked about in this story of Purim, you have the power of the fasting during the day with the feasting that starts in the evening tonight. And they talked about the contrast between the two. And it's this opportunity to remember the bad times, to remember the hard times, the painful times, about how the Jewish people were about to be destroyed. In our own lives, personally, remembering the hard times, the bad times. But then also in the feasting to remember the joy and the good times, to remember how God turned it around, to remember how he turned the tables on the situations. Because if we don't have the full story, we don't have both the good times and the bad times, we don't remember both of them, the story is not complete. It's the bad times and the contrast of what God does in those times that makes it so powerful. And remembering both sides of that story, I think God, we've talked about before, we've taken communion over this before, God can help us to forget our troubles. You look back at the story of Joseph. Joseph went through some hard stuff. And it says God blessed Joseph so much that he forgot his troubles. Now, I do think God can help us to forget, but I also think sometimes he just reframes the way we view those times. Because now when we see it from the perspective of both the bad and the good, we have this different perspective on it. And this is part of what we do in communion every day. Why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. As often as you do this, remember me. We have this opportunity to remember, on one side, his suffering. To remember the pain and the suffering and all that he went through on one side. But on the other side, we get to have this joy, this cup of joy, this cup of gratitude and participation with him. To know his suffering, but also to know what that suffering produced for us on the other side. We have this covenant with God. We get this covenant relationship with God. We can do life together with him. He gave us life. And to remember both sides of that as we take communion as well. This communion helps us to abide in him. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. Which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to remember in our soul, in our mind and imagination, to remember both the good and the bad, and to combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do, that we can release our faith into. In the cracker and the juice. I believe it unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord. Just that deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. For all that he went through, that he was willing to do, that God was willing to send his one and only son, that he loved us that much. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical application oftentimes of the lessons we've been learning for the day, and we've been applying them into physical exercise, into health and fitness. Because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. It's a way for us to practice that every day and to connect with God. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and we can apply them into every other area of life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's talk about the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? This is our time to examine ourselves. And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master, because we have to have this eternal perspective on life. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, this relationship with God. It's got to be brought down into today to impact our daily decisions and actions and words and thoughts and everything that we do. It's got to infiltrate today and impact today. That's where we talk about our four fundamentals and executing these four fundamentals with presence and energy and focus and fun today. Our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. This has to happen every single day. Think of it like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. To take our position in the light, we're going to position ourselves in humility. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting all that excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best about others, keeping no record of wrongs, letting some things go, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise. And we're not just going to think about it. We're going to embody it. We're going to physically express that gratitude and praise into the world, through our words, through our actions, writing, speaking, embodying that gratitude. Because gratitude is one of the greatest expressions of faith. And we're going to take our position in this light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in him, and we get to be in him today. By faith, we can access this grace in which we now stand. So inside of that light is everything God has, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, all of the fruit of the spirit, his kingdom, his purpose, we've become part of his family, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time, his finances, his order, everything that he has, he put it all in there. And one of the biggest things we have to learn to do is to understand what he's made available and to learn to receive this and get it flowing through us. Our first step is to get positioned in the light. And then our second step is we're going to start to magnify that light and to make it bigger or greater. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. We're going to magnify this light and make it bigger, make it shine brighter and brighter. We're going to expand that capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And to magnify, it's all about what we're focused on. Where's our attention and our focus throughout the day? I like to think of meditation. What are the things that I'm meditating on? Which means, what are the things that I'm doing repetitively in my life? My repeated thought patterns and word patterns and speech patterns. Patterns of behavior and habits that I have. So to magnify the light, we're going to magnify God's word. To be diligently studying it and thinking about it and talking about it and giving it a higher place and priority in our lives. To magnify his unfailing love. Think about that for a minute. His unfailing love and his faithfulness. He'll never let us down. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Nothing is impossible with him. And we've got right standing with him in Christ. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We've got peace with him today. He eagerly desires to help. And he put all these amazing things within us. Everything we need for life and godliness, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are all in Christ. We're going to magnify whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. And all the things that are going well, looking back at how far God has brought us, all that he's already done for us in our lives. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. Rather than meditating on and magnifying the size of the problem, we're going to magnify the size of God instead. But it does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could do things our own way. We could kick God out of this equation completely. We could do it all on our own. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting and complaining, magnifying the size of the issues and problems, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness or we're positioned in it or magnifying it, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. To snap at them. Maybe we withhold good things that we know to do because they didn't treat us the right way or they said something or did something, so I'm not going to do something good for them. Might be the tendency to avoid people, to give them the silent treatment, to just avoid them with your presence. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. It takes some unlearning of our old ways to learn how to put off our old ways and to just do good continually, to love unconditionally, to give other people that same grace God has given us. Then on the inside, when we're in darkness, you'll feel this heaviness and the weight and the pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might feel hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. I like to think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's dread of the future. We're sitting there toiling away, worrying about things in the future that are probably never going to happen. There's confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. if you get stuck in these vicious cycles or bad habits, bad patterns. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more that rest begins to grow. And now everything is free and easy and effortless, because when we rest, God goes to work. And now all of a sudden it's his peace and his joy and his spirit and his power and his energy and his mind and wisdom. They all begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation, because we've got God with us. And one of the things I need to get on my slides here, God's been reinforcing to me to get to touch on this every day, is that fullness in him. You'll feel this fullness in him, like nothing's missing, nothing's lacking, just this fullness in him, this contentment in him is another big symptom. Now, if all that weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. We ever get off track, we get out of position, we start magnifying the wrong things. It just takes a moment to turn it right back around. How do we do it? Number one, it's recognizing the symptoms and having the awareness of it to say, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. And then we bring it to God and we humble ourselves. Father, forgive me. I've missed it right now. Because life's throwing stuff at us every day that's trying to knock us out of position. I've missed it right now. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to reconcile with somebody, we need to say we're sorry. We need to make something right with somebody else. We take those steps, and then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love, and that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever is coming at us today. There's grace for today. Then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, we got to stay listening and tuned into him, because he's trying to lead us and teach us and direct our path. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? And then it's good to examine ourselves. How is my positioning? How is my focus? Any areas I need to make some adjustments in? Then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? What were you trying to show me today? And just getting still and listening for a couple minutes. Doesn't take long. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write it down. Something very powerful happens when we take what's going on in our head and we get it out of our head and into the world, onto the paper, speaking it out, whatever it may be. And then we got to stay tuned in today as we go throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us throughout the day, but we got to stay tuned into him. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Just take a minute or two. Slow down, get connected to him, get aware of his presence with you, get powered up in him. And then the last thing I like to do in my journal before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with what do I know to do? Because I found out sometimes I was getting ahead of God. I would ask him for his leading and direction on some things, but I wouldn't wait for him to show me. And then I would get ahead of him because I would just start doing whatever I thought was best. And I've learned, I don't want to do what I think is best. I want to do what you say is best, God. So I've learned to wait for him to show me. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so what I've learned to do is, what do I know to do today? It's usually a list of maybe 3 to 10 things. What do I know to do today? Begin to write out, what do I know needs to happen? Anything in my conscience, anything I'm procrastinating on, anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do, I make out the plan. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected to God. Start praising and thanking him, get connected to him, start magnifying him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together with him with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And we get to that place of confident faith. This grace just begins to surge through us. In waves, just begins to flow through us. And when he begins to flow through us, he's the source of beauty. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything he has for us into our lives. Let's take a look at remembering today. We got the Feast of Purim as a reminder of how quickly God can take us from fasting to feasting. It's a reminder for us to remember both the good and the bad. As we take communion today, just a time to remember the suffering of Jesus, all that he went through, to give us life, to connect us back to God, to remember that. But then on the other side, to remember all that that sacrifice did for us. We have this new covenant with God because of that sacrifice. We can have this covenant partnership, this covenant relationship with him, that we can know him. He's taken everything he has. He put it all in Christ for us today, giving us this amazing grace. So Father, we're just so thankful today for this opportunity to remember. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that you were willing to do, all that Jesus was willing to do, and all that his sacrifice produced for us. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Got this new covenant with him. We can know him. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. So let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. One of the ways that we remember in health and fitness is keeping records. It seems like a very little thing, but keeping records, workout records, tracking progress over time, food logs and nutrition, keeping records, keeping measurements, taking consistent measurements, is one of the greatest ways to stay on track for the long term. Keeping records, but a lot of people, what I've found is on the days when they're off track, they don't want to keep the records. Nobody wants to weigh themselves when their weight has gone the wrong way. When your workouts are not going good, they don't want to keep records. When their food is way off track, people don't want to keep records. Remembering both the good and the bad, because they're part of the whole story. And keeping records is very, very powerful because it helps you to look back and build encouragement to see how far you've come. But it's also important that you keep a record of the times when things aren't going as well, to keep a record of those times as well, to see the obstacles that you've overcome along the path, to see what God is up to in your life and in your health. Keeping records is one of the most important things to do. It's a little thing, but it makes a big difference. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.